What we're here for this evening is to try to teach. And that's all we want to do. We're not here specifically to sell something. We're here to talk about a new concept in health. Now, when I say new, it is a fact that hair analysis has been around for about 30 years. Most people did not and do not know what it means. But it's taken time to put it together, just as anything else, anything in medical testing or, for that matter, any other kind of testing. Blood analysis itself was fought by the AMA for over 20 years. They would not accept it, that blood had any value for any kind of testing. But today we all know what CBC is and ChemPan and all of these names they have for a thyroid test, and so on. So we have all of those things today to test by. Hair analysis has been around long enough that just now it's coming into its own to become a regular test. The day will come when you will go to your oncologist if you have cancer, and he will say, well, let's see, let's have a ChemPan, a CBC, a hair analysis, a urinalysis, and they'll be just as common as any other test, and you'll go off in another little room and somebody will cut a few snippets of your hair. And within 24 to 48 hours, you'll have answers back as to what your metabolism has been doing while you've been fighting this problem that you've got. And it's not only for just cancer. I mentioned cancer because I have a number of oncologists who are friends of mine. Over the years, and I've been at this now for 17 years, ever since I had cancer myself, I've been doing this. I was in the mining business working as a mining engineer, and I did that for about 15 years, and then I wound up with cancer of the lung. I did nothing for 2.5 years, and then we got that problem over with. And the funny thing is after that problem was over with, I had bigger and better jobs than I had ever had in the engineering business, but I was no longer interested, and I kept studying and working on what I was doing now and wound up just giving up the mining business altogether because, first place, this was fun. It was something that nobody else knew anything about. And it's just, there's a, maybe it's just a personal thrill, I don't know, but there's just something about knowing something that's real, knowing something that's the truth, and nobody else knows about it. Of course, it's an uphill battle to try to get anything done with it. And I was very fortunate in that I had as friends the very people who helped start hair analysis, the very granddaddy of all of the people who had worked in hair analysis, the very gentleman who really was the first one to discover what it really meant. He only lived 7 miles from me, and I became a pest at his house. He was not married. He's retired now, and he's no longer in hair analysis, but he worked for 11 years before he discovered what it meant, and that information was passed on, and there were a few discoveries that were made about, wow, this mineral affects another mineral and causes you to absorb copper, or people that absorb copper too easily have too much of another mineral, and so on. And those, we found those things out at the same time, and it was a matter of discovery. But as with anything else, hair analysis is just one of those things that has been much maligned and much misused, but as time goes on, all we do is keep trying to teach. And that's my entire purpose, is to teach what it means, to teach this new concept in health. And it really and truly is a new concept, because you see, there is no exact figure, but it is said that about 90% of all of our diseases are metabolic. Of course, you may ask, what does that mean? I mean, metabolic. But you see, metabolic just simply means what you're doing with what you've got. What is your metabolism doing with your lifestyle? What is it doing because of the way you eat, the things you drink, the environment you're in, the cold, the heat, whatever it is? Because I guarantee you that anything that you eat, anything that you drink, anything that you breathe into your lungs shows up in your hair sooner or later. Why do all of the criminalists and the police departments and so today use hair analysis to test for drugs? Because it is so reliable. You can't fake it. You can't get away from it. You can't eat a package of poppy seeds and then try to lie your way out and say, oh, I didn't smoke dope, I ate a poppy seed roll, you know, or before I took cocaine or anything like that. If you sweat out something, if you urinate out something, if you breathe out something, it's going to show up in your hair. So everything that we do, everything that our metabolism has and does, is all a picture of it is laid down every day in our hair. A quick little story about, maybe 10 years ago now, they decided to do a hair analysis on Napoleon. Of course, Napoleon's been gone a long time, but his hair isn't. He had a habit of, when he wrote letters to anybody, and especially always called them dear beloved ones, and he thought well of himself, and he would cut off a locket of his hair and put in the envelope and send with his letters. Many museums in the world have lockets of Napoleon's hair. So somebody was trying to decide, really and truly, why did he die? And of course, you've all seen the picture of Napoleon with his hand inside his coat, you know, posing for the picture. He had horrible stomach problems. But those stomach problems never happened until he was banished to the isle where he lived. And there was always this story that perhaps he was slowly poisoned, you know, to get rid of him and get him out of society so he couldn't get loose and come back and plague him again. So these people set out to find out if he was. Now, Napoleon and others around him kept very good diaries of his life because he was such a famous person. Day-to-day diaries. And so they were able to go to the libraries and get all of these diaries and put it in the computer and put it all together as to what his lifestyle was every day. Was he sick? Was he happy? Was he depressed? Well, everything about him. And then they began to take lockets of hair and analyze the hair lengthwise. And that can be done. That's not the type of analysis we do, but what I'm trying to point out is the accuracy of it. You can electroscan a hair. Now, let's take a for instance. Let's say that your hair grows at the rate of a quarter of an inch a day. Let's say everybody's hair grows at the same rate, quarter of an inch a day. Of course, it's easy to find out how fast somebody's hair grows because you can take a hair today and 10 days later you could pull another hair right beside that one and then scan it and you can find the pattern in the hair and you can tell exactly how fast that hair grows. But they did Napoleon's and they knew when he cut some of these snippets of hair. And lo and behold, it appeared in Science Digest magazine that he was assassinated, that he was killed by arsenic poisoning. And it was a very strange way and very well thought out way in which they did it. And that is they slowly poisoned him. And for his type of stomach problem, there was a certain purgative, as they called it, that they used in those days. And the doctor would come. They would give him the purgative. It caused throwing up, diarrhea, everything else. It cleansed his body. And that was the end of that, and they would wait until he was ill the next time. And so they would slowly build up the arsenic poisoning again. And arsenic poisoning causes severe constipation. And he would finally get to the point to where he was in such pain and so full, and he couldn't go to the bathroom. And they would call for the physician to come in and give him a purgative. The purgative was actually made of mercury salts. And as we all know today, what mercury can do to your body. Well, in that day, whenever they were doing that, they knew that if they finally built it up and built it up faster and faster and faster, that the day would come when they would come in and give him a big purgative and it would kill him. And that's exactly what their theory was as to how it happened. And they proved it by scanning known hairs that were cut on certain days, and they were able to pick out exactly the dates that he was poisoned on, and it coincided with the diaries. So you see, hair, even if it's hundreds of years old, can still be extremely accurate. And science cannot argue with those things because they're there. They've been found out as side things, not during studies where they want to do a 20-year study of hair or something like that. So hair is an extremely accurate guide to our inside, what we're doing with what we've got, what our metabolism is doing. We can look inside your cells and see what's happening in the cell by simply looking at your hair. What happens is we take a sample of hair. It's weighed very precisely. We take it from the scalp out because we don't want to know if a woman had hair down to here. We cut the outside. We don't want to know what happened 5 years ago because she's sick now. So we have to take that hair that's right from the scalp out for a couple of inches. And that represents the last, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 months of her life as an average. For men who have hair as short as mine, you know, this represents about a month and a half to 2 months. And you take that sample. I like it for myself. We we'll cut a hair sample, and then I wait till after I've had a haircut and it's ready again, and that usually takes about 3 months, and I can get a very accurate assay of what my body has been doing for the last month and a half. And from that, I can develop a program to give myself more energy or stop being so tired or whatever it is that I want to do. And I've been my own best guinea pig, and I've actually literally made myself sick. I've actually had to go to bed because I wanted to know what would happen if I did this. And you tell somebody else to do, oh, sure, I'll be glad to. Tell me what to take. And the first time they feel bad, they say, I didn't like your program, and they don't do it. So you have to, as the saying is, no pain, no gain. So I just had to do it. And over the years, I've guinea-pigged myself, as well as a few friends for other things and other, we've studied DHEA. You know, it's so well touted and talked about, and they say, see, people see the results or they see the symptoms of something, but they don't know why it works. You can look at hair, and you can tell why it works. We know what DHEA does by looking at what happened to the metabolism when they took it. And it is a wonderful drug. It's not good for cancer like they tout it, but that's what they say. So we've looked at these things over the years. We can tell a person's personality. There's so many things that we can tell that many times we've been asked, are you a psychic? You know, because we tell you what your personality is, or we can. Are you depressed? You see, we know if you're depressed or not. We know whether you're a paranoid schizophrenic or whether you're a manic depressive. And all of these types of things. These can all be told from a sample of hair. Now, we don't see AIDS in hair. We don't see vitamins in hair. We don't see chemicals in hair. All we have to do is look for the inorganics in hair, which are minerals or metals. I mean, after all, calcium is a metal. Magnesium, sodium, potassium, and these types of things. We also look for the heavy metals because we know how they affect your metabolism. Mercury. It's well known what mercury can do. The things that we report on are not things that we decided or things that we came up with. They're things we found by doing medical research, going to the universities and going to the libraries and finding out what does aluminum toxicity do. When they first started talking about Alzheimer's, we had known for several years before that every single person that we did a hair analysis on that had Alzheimer's had excessively high levels of aluminum in their system. And yet finally the medical world produced that they think, and they've never decided yet, but it is said that aluminum has something to do with Alzheimer's. And yet every time it repeats, every time the same thing. When we have somebody who is diagnosed as Alzheimer's, they have aluminum toxicity. These things have happened with each one of the diseases that we see. And after 17 years and several thousands of people, you're bound to see most of the diseases and the patterns. And once you get two or three of them, you begin to see the pattern that's in their metabolism. For instance, you don't hear much about Agent Orange anymore, the men that went to Vietnam and had Agent Orange toxicity. And yet when it was at its very height, we were fortunate enough to get to do a study through the Viet Vet House in Sacramento. They gave us 13 men that at least claimed to have Agent Orange toxicity. At the same time, we had two doctors that each had one man under care, and so we had 15 total. And we went to the Viet Vet House, we cut the 13 samples of hair, the doctors delivered the other two to us, and within less than a month, we had those 15 samples of hair done, ready to go. We had looked at the patterns, and 13 of the 15 men we knew had Agent Orange toxicity, and two of them didn't, because you could just lay one pattern right on top of the other. All their metabolisms were the same, those that were affected. Before the month was out, three of them were dead. And they weren't any different than any of you sitting out here. They didn't look sick. Oh, some of them had little sores in their hair, in their scalp and things, but they didn't look sick. But the Agent Orange killed them. But we did find the pattern, and after that we published it. The Viet Vet House allowed us to study their men because they were looking for a viable diagnostic tool to prove Agent Orange toxicity. And we felt that we had found the first and most viable diagnostic tool to prove whether a man had been affected by Agent Orange toxicity or not. And they said, no, if you can't prove that he has Agent Orange toxicity, then we're not interested. So they never would let us go any farther with it because they were the part of the ones who were going to sue the government for millions of dollars to try to help these men with Agent Orange toxicity. And you know the rest of the story. I mean, it's been well in the newspapers and everything. But after that, through physicians, we were able to treat a few men who had Agent Orange toxicity, and not a single one of them, at least that I know of, has ever lost their life to have anything to do that, because we took it out of their body. All we did was look at the hair analysis and give their body the tool that was missing, the very thing that Agent Orange had taken out of their body that eventually caused their death. We just gave it back to them. After all, for every action, you know the old axiom, for every action there's an equal reaction. And as Agent Orange came in and their body couldn't take care of it and it slowly took over their metabolism, there was an end result. All we did was just fight back and push it back the other way. And the dioxin went out of their system. We proved it because we did urinalysis on them. We had the doctors do urinalysis, and the dioxin was in the urine. We would do 24-hour urinalysis, save the urine for 20. One we did, we saved it, all the urine, for a week. And then mixed it, poured it into one sample bottle, tested it, and there was the dioxin. So we knew we could take it out of the body, and yet we didn't do any drugs. We didn't do anything unusual. Today, still, after 17 years, we don't use any drugs. We don't need to, because if it's a metabolistic disease, all you have to do is change your metabolism. That's all there is to it.